My name is Maren Green. I walk the path of a sacred midwife, mother, and spiritual gangster. My role is a keeper of wisdom, of the ancient ways of being. I trust Source as my ultimate guide. There is nothing more radical than feeling and listening to your own soul. On this podcast, you'll hear about my real life as a mother to 10, a sacred birth worker, a priestess, and a creator of the new earth. I see my life purpose in my children, in leading the sovereign and radical birth community of Indie Birth, and in embodied learning and living. Join me in the remembering of who you really are. You are powerful. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Really excited to share with you a beautiful woman and story today. But first, a little update. It is in between eclipses. I don't know about you, but there are definitely some weird things happening. And I'm no astrology expert here, but it definitely feels like things are in between. Definitely feels like not all the pieces are there. And perhaps it's not the best time to do really big things or start really big things. That's how I'm feeling anyway. It's been a really cool week. I went to my first birth gathering here on Oahu, and I will probably share more about that in a future podcast for a lot of reasons. So many reasons that it was profound and felt really good to me. Let's see, what else? If you are a birth worker, if you are interested in just making time for yourself, not as a mother, not as a wife, but in this role of doula or midwife, or maybe doula or maybe midwife, I have a space for you in my Beyond the Mind, which is set to start April 14th. This is a four-week thing. We only meet once a week, though, so it's not like this crazy commitment of time. It's 1.5 hours each week for 4 weeks. And in between, you may choose to do some self-investigation. But the time commitment overall is really not so bad. And if you're involved, if you're enrolled, you will receive the recording. So you also won't miss it if you're not there. I feel like there's so much to say lately. I have so much to say. If you've been on our newsletter, I've been writing a whole lot lately. You've heard some podcasts recently about embodiment, about birth work, about somatics, and obviously I'm so excited about all of it. I feel like I'm a step ahead in a sense of where many people are, only because I've been intensely studying this for a while now. And so it dawned on me that even with the Beyond the Mind, that maybe it's not quite clear what it is all about, even though there is a page, and it is indiebirth.org/beyond the mind. So you can read it and check it out. But I'm just here to blab for another 30 seconds about it, which is, it doesn't matter where you are on the path. I've had people ask me, well, I'm new, I'm a new doula, or of course, more experienced midwives always think they're exempt from such things because they have experience. I'm here to share with you that I don't think anyone is exempt. And of course, that's not like the greatest sales pitch because I'm not promising anyone anything here. I'm here to share the wisdom that I have and to show you what I've learned about being in the body, especially the last year and how it pertains to birth work. There's too much to say about it right now, but if you're curious, you'll come and you'll check it out. And I'm betting you leave this four-week experience feeling so much more connected to what's actually going on. And in birth work, I'll just leave you by saying, I understand. But do you understand? Do you feel what's going on? I understand the adrenaline now that I'm not in it in the same way. I see it. I see it in birth workers all of the time. And my mind is blown. Like, how do we live this way? Running from one birth, coming in like the wind to a meeting, never fully having your feet on the ground is something that is really, really super common. And I think as a busy birth worker, perhaps people kind of pride themselves on this. It's like, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. And then when you get downtime, it's like, oh, I have to sleep. Oh, I have to eat. Oh, I need to take care of my kids. And while all those things are true, if we're not really taking care of our own sensations inside of our own body, my prediction is most of those people are headed towards burnout and or trauma. So again, I'm not promising that those things can be necessarily avoided in life, but I would love to sit in a loving circle with you and see where your body takes you. See if you can find a sense of safety. See if you can feel where your heart is calling you to go. Those are the answers people are actually looking for. I mean, in our world, I guess. I know there are people and women out there who want someone to tell them what to do and how to do it. But since that's not how I operate as a person, as a woman, as a midwife, I can't possibly hold a circle for birth workers like that with some kind of magical formula. The intention of the circle is really to have a safe space and tools and, you know, fun techniques and exercises to bring you closer to you. So that's what Beyond the Mind is about. If you were wanting to hear more, I really hope to see you there. And if not, maybe you'll do it next time. Okay, well, moving on here to my beautiful conversation with Alyssa. Alyssa contacted me by email a few months ago when she was still in the middle of knowing that her baby in her body had died. And she was, I believe, about 5 months pregnant. And we communicated a little bit as she waited for her baby to emerge, much like I had waited about 7 years ago. I'm always so honored and humbled to provide support to women in this situation. And they definitely come. There's definitely been, you know, I think I've said maybe one or two a year around the world, you know, women that reach out and they just want a sister. They just want support or guidance or, you know, to be seen really in this unique experience of late miscarriage, which is the clinical term, but it is still losing a baby. It is still death. And perhaps the sneakiest part of having a late miscarriage, and that definition, by the way, is usually early second trimester is my understanding. The trickiest part is that we're taught that doesn't really happen. We're taught that once you get past the first trimester, you're safe. And while that's true for so many women and has been true for me many times, it wasn't true. And for Alyssa, that wasn't true for her third pregnancy. I really love talking with her. I know you will be able to hear the emotion and the beauty and wisdom that this woman has come to share. I really, really hope you enjoy this. And you can click on Alyssa's contact info in the show notes if you'd like to reach out to her at all, just to say you enjoyed it or share whatever thoughts you have. All right, enjoy this chat and I'll see you next week. Welcome to the podcast, Alyssa. I am so, so honored you're here. I have been looking forward to this. And even in our brief chat just a few minutes ago, I feel so inspired and humbled that you're here today to share your story and your heart. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you. Yeah, you've played a big part in my experience and, yeah, it's really, I'm excited to share it, you know, even in my vulnerability and the pain, there's so much beauty and so much strength. So I appreciate you holding this space for me.
You are so welcome. And, you know, it's mutually healing, I think, to sit with other sisters that have walked a similar path. So I think for both of us, it, you know, it's probably going to feel really good to hold your story today?
It already does. I mean, I don't know anyone else who has a similar story to me than you, and I feel safe here. So, yeah, I definitely think that in sharing, we can heal, and sharing our stories, you know, we're not alone in our experiences.
Definitely. How are you feeling right now? Where would be a good place to lead in? What comes up for you?
I'm feeling good. Honestly, I'm feeling a little bit emotional. I suppose there's some emotion coming out. I haven't really spoken openly in this, maybe this type of arena or in this depth, since I've experienced, you know, my miscarriage. And so, yeah, I am feeling a little bit of emotion and a little bit of tears. But I'm feeling
and
good.
It's okay, like, for us to be with that, even though, you know, people listen, not watch. Like, I think even that is so profound and perfect. You know, you lost a baby. It's only been not even 3 months. So just like feeling that with you and seeing it in your face and just allowing that to be here with us.
Yeah,
thank you. It's honoring the silence, I think, too. You know, there's so much silence in an experience like that. It's so awkward for people sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm in no rush. We're in no rush. You just let what comes up that you want to share at whatever point, and you know, well, you'll get it all.
Well, I suppose I fell pregnant, you know, in July of 23 last year, and we were so excited to welcome our third baby, you know, into our family. I have two little girls, and we were just so, so excited. We currently live in Mexico after relocating across the world from Australia, and we've just always felt our heart is here in Playa del Carmen, and we just knew we were aligned when this baby, you know, made itself known to us. And, you know, I am a doula myself, and I've had my own home births and things like that, and support women and their own sovereign birth and pregnancy and motherhood journeys. And so I practiced what I preach. You know, I was going to have a wild pregnancy again, and I was not opting for any ultrasounds and things like that, and just really listening to my body and going with the flow and trusting, obviously, that the process, you know, my body was capable and the process was going to unfold the way that it was going to, and I would have a baby, you know, my healthy baby, and birth my baby at home. And everything was going really, really well. And I started to just not see any really mentionable blood. It was just like little streaks of blood in normal looking discharge.
And when did that start? When did you notice?
I was about 4.5 months pregnant. And I just thought, well, this isn't anything for me to be concerned about, I don't think, right now. I have a good friend, and who was going to be my doula. She was going to fly down from Miami for the birth and just be with me. So we weren't really concerned. We were feeling into it, and I felt good within my body, although I had never experienced anything like that in my previous pregnancies. So it was a bit out of the ordinary, you know.
Right. Yeah, that was similar for me. But had you felt your baby move up to that point? I'm curious about that.
I felt that I had felt my baby. Yeah. And so I was like, well, you know, the baby's moving. And I definitely felt, jolts and flutters and things like that. I felt really in tune. And yeah, so I was like, well, the baby's still moving, it's fine. And
And
then
you
I
still
think
felt pregnant?
I
I
still
mean,
felt pregnant, but in maybe a week or 2 weeks after starting that light discharge and the streaks of blood, I was just walking around my house, and I think I was cleaning up, and just this voice inside of me said, the soul has gone now. There's no life here anymore. And I didn't want to believe that. Honestly, I denied it. I was like, I'm just fearing that, like, this is just a fear that's coming up. I'm just like, that can't be, true. But when I look back on it,
Had you heard voices like that before in other pregnancies, like little things?
definitely not. No, not to that extent. But I knew the rhythms of my body, and I had been exploring that strong voice of my intuition. And I think now that I look back on it, I know what is fear and what is truth. And so I know that I can't deny that feeling and that call anymore. And it was still 2 weeks after that voice, that intuitive knowing, that the soul had left its body and there was no life living there anymore, that I carried on. I still felt pregnant, and it was just me maybe ignoring the signs, or it was just not the right time for me to find out. But I lost, it looked like my mucus plug, and I was like, well, okay, now something is changing in my body. And it was, yeah, really, really a little bit confusing. I didn't know what was going on. And then one night it was just a really big gush of blood, and I had felt light period cramps, or those early stages of labor, and then the blood, and I was like, okay, well, something's really not right here now. Obviously, not having any medical guidance in Mexico, I felt quite confident in that. I did go to the hospital, and I was just seek it took me a lot to decide to go and get a scan, just to really know what was going on. And I felt within me that if I didn't go, it's like, did I do enough to save my baby if I had those options?
I
And
understand.
so, yeah, it was, I never got to see a doctor that night. And I think that it was a blessing, because the next day, an opportunity opened up for me where I could see a private doctor in the safety and comfort of a more private space. And it wasn't in, the rush of emergency and all of those things. So I think that was a big blessing. And I just came home that night, and I was so grateful to just be in bed with my girls and just cuddle my girls. And I just felt I had to be really, really gentle with myself. And
And
I
you
just,
didn't know at that point exactly what was going on.
I didn't know. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote in my journal, and I just prayed. I was, I hope the baby hasn't left me and that it stays. I really hoped for that.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. And the next morning we woke up and we were really hopeful. It was a beautiful sunny day, and this private doctor called and he said, I've got one spare appointment, please come in. And I was so grateful, so grateful. I was just like, there's good people that want to help and that see your pain. And I got out of the taxi, and I said to my husband, today is going to be a good day. Like, I was just so hopeful. And we went into the doctor's office, and I just said, I'm 5 months pregnant. I'd really like a scan and to see that the baby is okay. And that's what I want to know. So I go into these things, seeking information so that I can make an informed decision. And that's just what I wanted to know. I didn't want anyone's advice. I just wanted to see the baby. And It was really, we were so excited to see our baby pop up on the screen. And we all like gasped, like, oh, there it is, you know, and it had its 10 little fingers and 10 little toes, and it looked like a chubby little belly. But I knew really quickly that there was no heartbeat. I knew, and I knew what I was looking at. And the doctor, of course, was really slow in, you know, navigating everything and just making sure that he was going to give me the right diagnosis. And he said, I'm really, really sorry. I think my husband, you know, he felt it right away, but I somehow knew, and I was somehow stunned and shocked, but I somehow knew. And I didn't hit me initially, you know.
Yes, I do know. It's such an interesting mix of feelings. That knowing and then the shock, you know. Like the shock is just our nervous system because it doesn't make sense. Like you can know, but it doesn't make sense.
You also don't feel like, you know, you trust the process so much and you somehow don't think it's going to happen to you. But I suppose that's part of really honoring birth in the way that we do. It's like we have to also understand that death is part of that. And so it really opened up my world to death.
It's like, where did any of us get the idea initially that trusting meant we'd always have a live baby? And I think that's very much out there. I think that's very strong dogma still. I mean, and you know, people are allowed to hold that. That might be true for them. But once you've lived a different path, trust becomes something else and something so much deeper. Not just that everything is always how you want it because you believe it to be so.
And believing that you're doing all the right things. I'm grounded. I'm emotionally regulated. I'm eating the right foods. My body is healthy. My body is capable. And it's just like these things can happen to anyone and everyone. And I think that's a big lesson is like life goes and you can't pick and choose your experiences, but you can learn to ride the waves and maneuver and flow with life. And that's the same with birth. And I think that's very much the same with death, is allowing life to flow through you and you flow with life. The ups and downs, all of it is necessary. It's not just one way. These experiences and these lessons and, you know, this grace happens to everyone. And I think in now expecting that these things are coming our way at any point, it's like you build the capacity to be able to flow with it more, you know, the ebbs and flows of life. And yeah, so it was a big lesson for me to be able to flow with death. I can flow with birth, I feel really easily. And so death has taught me the other side of that and how it very much is the same as birth work. I mean, when you're born, you are dying to something else and you're constantly going through cycles as a woman, especially being reborn and these rites of passage and birth, you know, it makes us stronger. It allows us to grow. If you take these opportunities and you take these lessons and you take these gifts, you know, you step more into your authentic power and you're able to just flow in peace with life. No matter if you see it as good or bad or birth or death, it's all just life, really.
That's beautiful. It's life. The experiences of being a woman. Yeah, we never know quite what we'll get. I mean, and that's true every day, right? Like, it's so humbling to realize that's true all of the time, just that there are no guarantees. I really think it helps you live a little bit more in that way when you've had something like this happen, you know? And you become so grateful. I'm sure you'll share, right? To look at your two beautiful girls, and it doesn't replace the baby that has left, and it doesn't change it, but it's like, I know I looked at my kids just so differently, and still do. So grateful.
Definitely. It, like the expansion in love and gratitude that I've not known to this depth before has been a gift in itself. And yeah, my two girls, like everything that I have in my life and my family is just more than enough. You know, I don't need any more than what I've got. I'm so grateful. I'm abundant in infinite amounts. And it's because of this love that this baby shared with me, and to the depths I could feel the loss and the grief and the love I had for my baby. You know, it's opened up so much for me in my life, in so many ways, and it's brought so much peace and so much harmony to my life. But not only that, you know, I always wanted to show my girls about birth and how a woman is innately capable, and we hold everything within us to birth our children and to mother our children and nourish our children. And I think they've received some really profound lessons so early in life, but they learn off us, you know, and to decondition from my preconceptions of what I thought death would be like, and you know, loss and hurt and pain, and it's just so horrible and it's really dark and black and all of the things, you know, my experience with my family and previous experience of death was really painful and really hurtful. And I think to show my children that these things in life can happen and you can, you know, move through them and flow with them also. And they've been the biggest support to me, you know, and it's just everything is allowed here and everything has been felt here properly. They've grieved in their own way also, because it does affect our children, you
Of
know,
course,
we
yeah.
can't hide these experiences from them. And I knew I would show them everything in this child's birth, just as they've witnessed with each other in each other's births,
Yeah.
but this child also, and also in this child's death. You know, and how you're still able to honor your body and still honor this cycle. And it's really important to, I think, bring death back into the home and really truly honor it and feel it and hold it with so much grace and beauty.
It's so important. It's so important, and so much of that is hidden, right? From our culture, and yeah, from kids, as if they're too delicate for it. I don't know if that's how people think about it, but I've always felt the same, that no matter what, you know, no matter what bodily process is going on, whether it's bleeding every month or, you know, in the case of our baby as well, it was always talked about really openly and still is. You know, I have children now that have come after that have a lot of questions, and they want to hear about it, and they want to know about him. And it's some days just, you know, dinner conversation, or like, this is just what is shared, that it was never anything to hide. And there's such beauty and simplicity in that. And like you're saying, you know, not just the darkness, like, there's humor sometimes, like there's a lightness to it. Things you would never imagine, I think, unless you were in it yourself. But I love that you brought your kids in, and I'd love to hear more about that too. Just, you know, the process of the birth, and how, you know, how that was received by them as well.
I've always chosen to be really open and honest with my children. And so when they were with us in the doctor's office, when we found out, and their reaction was they were really sad. You know, they knew what had happened. And I suppose I was only given one option in the doctor's office, and it was, well, you need to take these pills. It's too risky now. You're 5 months pregnant. This is going, you can do this at home if you want to, and then you're going to come back and you're going to have a DNC. And so at that point, I was just like, I was still shocked. I knew that that's probably not what I was going to do.
Right.
But I just nodded and agreed, and I just left quite quickly. And then it hit me when I left, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. And it was a long process from there, I suppose.
When was that in the calendar?
This was November 18th of 2023. So I was 5 months pregnant. And
that's crazy. Not to interrupt you, but I think for me, it was like the 16th of November, Scorpio season.
Well, our stories are oddly similar, and that's what I realized, you know, listening to your podcast about Sable. And I was like, wow, I could have written word for word your journal entries. And that's why I just needed to connect with you and show gratitude for you, because it opened up so much for me, and I didn't feel so, you know, alone. I knew that I needed to do it in my own way. However, I was going to allow this baby to release from my body. You know, I didn't know if it was going to be 2 days, weeks. I didn't know about the process. All I knew about a miscarriage was that you need to get the baby out quickly. You know, you're holding a dead fetus, and all of the fear and all of the conditioning. And that's what everyone told me immediately. Oh, well, just make sure you get it all out, you know? And I was just like, well, this is my baby, you know, this is my baby. And I feel like I want to have my baby at home the way that it was intended to be, safely with my family. And to be honest, I rarely take pharmaceutical medication, and the things that I had heard about some of these medications was quite horrific to me in my feeling, in my body. I felt, oh, that's not good for me. Like, I'm really fearful of that. And if I take this medication, I'm going to need to be really grounded and really focused in my body so that I can stay in control of the experience. You know, I sought advice from people like my doula, who is pretty much on the same page as I am. And she gave me different angles. And I really just sat with the baby for about, I think it was 2 weeks. And I was like, I need to go back to the doctor. I want to go back. I need to check that this is real and that there hasn't been a mistake. Because so often mistakes go, you know, unnoticed, and you know, ultrasounds can sometimes not be accurate.
Gosh, how many times I got my own Doppler out to listen on my own body multiple times, just because maybe I missed something. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. And so I went back and I had questions that I wanted to ask, but I saw it for myself now from a really grounded place. And I knew there was no blood running through the vessels and the heart valve and all of that. And it was just, okay, well, now I can move forward and I can make decisions for myself that are aligned with my values and, you know, that honor my body and what felt good to me. So once again, the doctor said, you know, it's very risky. You need to take the medication. And no one could really tell me the actual risks.
Or why. No.
I felt like my body can grow a baby. My body is very capable of releasing a baby, especially in my womb space. You know, it's an organ that is self-cleaning. And I felt like the process is a biological process. And how did women do it without medical attention in previous generations? Right. And so I just came back to what I feel is best for me. And I wanted to obviously go with it as best as I could. And if I needed medical attention, that I would seek that. But I felt really good and really strong and really healthy in my body.
Yeah.
So, it was quite a while. I held the baby inside of me. I looked at options. And every time that I'm, muscle tested or did some kinesiology on myself, the answer was clearly no. It was no. Don't touch this process. Do not intervene with this process. Just allow it to unfold. And I think I learned a lot in those weeks that I allowed it to unfold, because when you're sitting in the unknown, you go to the depths of darkness and all of your fear, and you learn so much about yourself and about your body, and it unlocks something within you, this intuition and this knowing. So I looked at homeopathics and I looked at herbs and I looked at other options. I even did facial reflexology on myself, because I know all the points you shouldn't stimulate during birth, because it and just nothing was, working. And I didn't take anything, any homeopathics or anything. So I just kind of went with the flow, and I made sure that my body felt safe and grounded and connected every day. I spent a lot of time in nature. And I just felt that if this baby is staying inside of me, there is a reason. There is a biological reason. I trusted that my body would be gentle with me. And I think that it allowed me to grieve and to process and to make space for and to move slowly.
And that is so important. Even though most people listening to this will never have this exact experience, I think even with earlier miscarriages, it's really important to consider that, like the space and time that this takes the body is important. It's not a fault. It's not because something is wrong necessarily, or sometimes we hear like, oh, the body hasn't caught up yet. And I remember having those thoughts, like maybe my body doesn't totally understand yet what's going on, right? But I don't think it was that. I think for me, my body was just really used to holding pregnancies and was doing its job really well. But that space that most women don't allow because they don't feel they can, or they don't have support in that, rushed in for a DNC or whatever it is, that to me is so traumatic. And it's because there's no ability to, like you had the ability to do, to grow and to weave and to mourn and to live your life alongside this really big thing that was happening.
I knew it was important, also with, I mean, birth trauma in the industry and in the hospital system. I didn't want any unnecessary invasion in my body also. So that was a big thing for me. But also, I try and foster secure attachment with my children and go with their flow. And, I didn't feel that taking the baby from my body before it was ready was the right path for me or my child, even if the soul had left already. It's important to me to see my baby, to hold my baby, to have that finality, so that I could really find that closure, which a lot of women don't get. They don't get to see their baby. Did it really happen? They're traumatized from the procedure, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong in procedures like that. And I just wasn't going to take that risk. Like I said, I felt fine in my body, and it's really about knowing yourself. No one else can tell you. And I felt like if I did something that went against myself, I'd be really betraying myself. And that was my driving force. I'm not here. I promised myself I would not abandon or betray myself ever, ever again. And I think
That's
that was one of
amazing.
the biggest lessons for me. It's like, I had my back the whole way. I had my back. But it got to a point. It was about 8 or 9 weeks into it, and there was no movement. There was no change. I was bleeding on and off, and I thought, yes, this is the time.
I
It's
know.
now, it's now. And I was
I
hyped, and then it would just fade off again. And
know.
so
Wow.
it messes with you. Like, you do
It's so
question, it's like,
weird.
what's wrong with me? Why is it taking so long? I'm so surrendered. And it's like, but am I really, in trust of this process? If I'm
Oh my
angry,
gosh.
like, it's, yeah, it
Right.
was.
And that's all part of it, and that's where I think like even something like the humor comes in, because you might have these ideas, and of course, if you're connected to people, they have maybe their ideas and insinuations. And it humbled me as well, right? Like even when we work with women that are having full-term live babies, we might have little judgments or expectations around why they're not going into labor, or things about the process that when you're in it like this, it becomes almost laughable. Like you tried everything, you thought everything, you thought the opposite of everything, and still here you are.
Absolutely. And you cannot control it in the slightest. Like you try and override the process of your body and of nature, and it's just, it's in its own time and its own way. And I came to learn very quickly that I was going to have to treat this like I was going to birth.
Yes.
And if I did nothing, birth would happen anyway. And it was just surrendering to the timing of how it was all going to unfold. But yeah, it sends you on these loops, and it's necessary to feel it all and to witness yourself going back and forth and the polarities. And it's just sometimes I thought to myself, oh my gosh, like I'm crazy. And I did. I sheltered myself because there was a lot of outside noise. So I just had to really rein it in and only allowed a few people that I really trusted and that really trust the process also. Too. So I told no one, I told no one. But I was preparing myself for birth the way I was going to birth in a live birth. That's what I came back to. And it's oddly very similar. And that's
Definitely.
what I realized, But it was about 8 or 9 weeks, and a friend that knew my plans and my wishes, said, "Have you heard Marin's podcast about Sable?" Her story is very similar to yours, and her baby, passed at 16 weeks. And I think that you should listen to it. And at that point, that was a shining light for me because there's no one out there that speaks about this or that allows this process to really unfold in this way. There's nothing on Google, there's nothing,
Nope.
it's just there's no information about this. It's all
Nope.
fear-based. And I was like, thank you, universe. Like, what a beautiful gift, and really a signpost that I was, on the right track. And as soon as I heard your voice, I just felt this peace come over me. I was sitting, at about 9 weeks waiting for my body and constantly just saying, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. And the first thing I think you said was, there's no waiting in the moment, And so I realized I'm just waiting, but I'm not really living here. And so if I'm living right here, then I'm not waiting. And that opened up so much space already. But your journal entries could have been word for word what I had written previously. And I think one of the most profound things that I took away from your story and you sharing your story about Sable was that you can make a decision to direct your life, and you can be surrendered, but there gets to a point where you're just a little bit passive towards it. So you're not really moving, you're not really making a choice to direct your life or opening up space for answers to come. And I felt that, I felt I had gotten a little bit stagnant in my approach. I was just sitting, waiting. I wasn't doing anything anymore to move it along,
As if that could go on forever. I remember having that thought, like this could be forever. There
And
were
I
moments
said,
where, yeah.
well, I said that I could. I'm like, I've got this. Like, I'm feeling great in my body. My body's okay. I'm just gonna go on. And I was like, but you reach a limit. And it's not because you're not patient or strong
No.
enough and you're not doing enough. Like, this is 9 weeks holding your baby, and you're wondering what's going on, or is this gonna turn this, or and there's so much fear about being septic and all of these things, which I don't really necessarily believe that the body would do something harmful
I
to
agree.
me. So I still trusted, And I knew in that moment that I had to make a decision, that I wasn't so powerless in
Yeah.
this.
What did that feel like for you in your body? Like that, whatever you would describe, like that realization.
Well, it was just permission to move forward. And it was you that opened that up to me. And it seems really simple, but when you're in it, it's like you see you're really rigid in the way that you're, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, like I'm not going against that. This is the way I want to do it. And I felt more ease. And I was like, well, I have to make a decision. I'm going to set a date and I'm going to inform my body and prepare my psyche for I had done a lot of research into some certain homeopathics that may help me release the baby. And so it was a full moon. I set the intention. I was like, this is what I'm working towards. And I'm open to changing my mind. I'm open to receiving messages from the universe that this is definitely the direction, or don't do that. And as soon as I made that decision, when I was muscle testing, it said, yes, take the homeopathics, still no, take pharmaceuticals. And it just this big shift. And I just, the rest of the week, I just allowed it to be, and I wasn't worried anymore. I wasn't like, why? I didn't question it anymore. It just flowed. And I prepared my body every day. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready to move forward. I want to hold my baby. Please give me a sign if this is the right way or if it's not. I'm open to changing, And so the night before the date came around, I had a dream and I woke up from that dream and it said, take the homeopathics, take it. Very clear knowing, the homeopathics. And so I started with one remedy and I went on to a second remedy and I felt shifts emotionally straight away within myself. And it was almost unlocking emotional, emotional something I was holding within me that I really couldn't unlock maybe without that. And I knew that homeopathics are still aligned with my values. It's from nature. And if it doesn't resonate with you, it just flows out of your body and there's no harm done.
It's not a forceful type
It's not
thing.
forceful. So it was just gentle unlocking of different things and symptoms I was feeling. But it became stagnant also. So I was unsure if it was going to work or not. But I met a lady who gave me another remedy that, after speaking to her, said, well, let's see if this helps. Instantly, when I took that remedy, I just had this knowing and this calling to book a session with my doula. And I had booked it for a week in advance, but something instantly was telling me, no, it needs to be tomorrow. It needs to be tomorrow. And I knew what was coming up. There was something that I had been holding in my body since the I and I know when I'm being truthful, it's like a truth serum, I was angry about and I was holding from the beginning of my pregnancy, even something that I wasn't able to move through. And I knew that's what wanted to come out. And so
That's amazing.
I just needed to voice that with someone. And my body was like, it needs to be now. Sooner, sooner, sooner rather than later. And so, there was so much shame around what I was holding. But once I released that, in a safe place and I allowed it to come out of me, it was like the final thing. And that afternoon, my body started contracting and bleeding. And I knew it was time. So it was just so incredible how you can be led and guided. Once you open up, another option or the energy to flow, it's like the answers are revealed to you. And it moves so quickly. And so,
That's
yeah,
so
I
powerful.
yeah, it was like birth, it was my body was contracting. But it was, I think you mentioned similar, that it was one long contraction. There was no real ease or break from it. And I just treated it like birth. I was going in like birth,
Yeah, definitely.
surrendered. And it took a few days over the course of that night. I spent a lot of time alone, which is what I felt I wanted to do. And I was, quite taken back by, the amount of blood that I was losing. I suppose it's one of my fears.
Yeah, I was afraid of that too. I mean, I think we're taught to be afraid of that. And in that situation, like it did make sense to my midwife brain too, you know? Yeah.
It's confronting. But I went into it after such a long process of being able to sit with it, like really just one step at a time and just go with it and feel it all and allow it to move through you and you're going to be okay,
So
and it
how
was,
long did it take?
well, it was all up. It was a few days. I mean, I woke up the next day and I had just released quite a few big blood clots. And then it stopped. And I was confused a little bit because I knew that if it was stopping and easing, that it might be over. And I felt at the end of that there was this, and it felt exactly like transition in birth. So as a baby's coming through the birth canal. And I looked down and my daughter was actually with me and a sack of water popped. And so it's like I had a transition and I had my waters break. And then it stopped. Everything stopped. And I was questioning everything and playing it out in my mind. I'm like, well, something's still there, The bleeding had stopped, but when I sat down, there was intense pressure. So something felt like it was there. And I went a whole nother day with no movement, and I was just grateful that I had moved through it, but I was confused, and then I was still hopeful that I would see a baby. Because I feel like your body can process it, but I didn't feel like being 5 months pregnant that I wouldn't see a baby or I wouldn't see bones or something, And then the next morning after that, I woke up and there was this intense pressure again. And I'm like, this is ramping up again. I'm going to be alone. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't lie down. I was like, I'm going to the bathroom again. And I just sat and wept and cried. And there's so much, so much blood. And then at the moment that I stood up, because I was so uncomfortable, I felt my baby coming out, just like I have felt my other children come out. And I caught my baby in my hands. And at that moment, I just saw out the corner of my eye, my daughter, both of my children and my husband walk right in and
How
witness the
beautiful.
birth of my child. And it's like such a surreal thing because you've given birth. I felt like I've given birth,
Of
but I'm
course.
also
Yeah.
holding a baby that, I'm not going to be able to raise.
No. I
And
know.
yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, it's such a strange thing to see this like little perfect person.
My husband even said, you made the same sounds when this baby came out that you did with your other children.
Of
And I
course.
felt that euphoric,
Yeah.
and then all of a sudden you're holding this baby in your hand and you're also grieving and mourning and just, it's such a polarizing, you're getting both sides of it, both life and death at the same time. And I actually couldn't see the baby straight away. It was really just a big kind of mass in my hand.
Right. So the
And
placenta came out at the same time.
well, yeah, when I looked at it closely, the sac was inside, still intact, and the placenta was actually wrapped around the baby, and it all came out together.
Yeah, that's how mine was too. And I don't know how you felt, but I was so grateful for that just because there's so many ways that can look and placenta's left
Yes.
inside. And like to have that like whole package come out just was like so relieving for me.
Was so complete, in that process, although it obviously opens up another another whole thing of grief. And now that the baby has been released after holding it for so long, yeah, there's so much to still move through. But I was grateful that my body was then calming down, the bleeding was stopping, and I could feel the baby inside, you know. I did decide with my husband, you know, to open up the sac. I wanted to see my
Yeah, of
baby,
course.
and I wanted to see if I could determine the gender.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see the gender anymore. You know, obviously it had started breaking down. But yeah, we had a little baby there, and we got to hold it, and we had a little beautiful box for it. And you know, my girls were just there, and it was just a normal thing. And they were adorning it with flowers and just really being so graceful and peaceful with our baby, you know. It was really beautiful. And you know, there was a lot of relief, a lot of relief that my body was able to complete that process.
Yeah, so much relief. So much relief after all those weeks and, you know, all the
Yeah.
emotion, and really is one of the best feelings.
Well,
You wouldn't expect it, but it's
you
like you're
feel
out finally,
powerful.
right?
Well, you feel powerful because you've just birthed and you've caught your baby, and you've just like there's so much healing that takes place on so many planes and so many levels, and it's just you feel just so held and loved and supported and all of these beautiful things, and you understand why it had to maybe be this way, you know. And then you're holding also your baby, and you know, but it's really important, I think, to find it, like have that finish and know and feel that in all of its beauty. And yeah, it's been profound. Not many people, I don't think, get to do that. And you know, we even got to cut the cord, which was still attached to
Yeah.
a little baby. And it was monumental for our family. We have, you know, little keepsakes, and we remember the baby. And we speak about the baby all the time,
Yeah.
and we
What
might
did you
not.
name the baby?
We actually didn't give it an official name. I had a name which keeps coming to me for this baby because I asked about the gender. And this name keeps making itself known to me. But yeah, like, I mean, since that, we decided, I'm not sure if I've told you this story, but we chose a beautiful place on the coast of Mexico to bury our baby. And we were so flustered and so emotional and just so unsure about what we were doing and in the ways that we were honoring our baby. And you know, it was a few weeks, and I just wanted the baby with me. I wanted to change my mind. I was just grieving. I wanted to know where it was, you know. But we decided to go back to this beautiful place, and this tree that our baby was buried under made itself known to us, which we didn't notice before. And we asked our friend to identify the tree for us. And it was actually an Australian she oak.
Oh my
So,
goodness.
like, we're in Mexico, you know, and this is an Australian native tree where we're from in Australia by the beach. And it was just so, a sense of peace just came over us. Like, this is where it's meant to be. And not knowing how we found at that place or anything, we were just guided. And it's, you know, in Aboriginal culture, that tree is seen as a nurturer and a protector. And it was just made so much sense to me. It's like, it's okay. It's okay to let this baby rest now and be at peace. And it, yeah, it's just all come, it just, it's just so, you can't explain it, the magic and the synchronicities and how serendipitous it all is, you know. when you allow it to all unfold the way that it's supposed to. There's so much beauty in it.
Yeah, and the magic. I love that you brought that in. You know, whether it's the synchronicities and the signs, I relied just so heavily on that. I mean, I do in my life, like I do watch for those things all of the time, but I think in that process, that was just so meaningful. And even to this day, you know, those signs sometimes appear and I'm reminded of our baby. And I think they just, yeah, they come with such a magical, powerful mission that continues to unfold. So, you know, I'm sure it will for you and in all the ways for your entire life, right? Like we were talking about, it's not like it's ever over. You have months that pass and years that pass, but it's something that is with you forever.
And there's just so much hope. And I think that's all we want sometimes is, hope. And I've found that life always brings you back to the beautiful. And you're so loved and so supported. And for being brave, you're infinitely rewarded for following your heart and your intuition. And it's something that, I wish everyone could know. You can't, well, I mean, some people try to bypass that, but then you miss the magic. You miss out on knowing yourself as well, and knowing life and understanding life and the miracles. And it's just, I'm just enlightened and in awe of this experience, no matter how heartbroken I have been.
Sure. Of
There's always
course.
hope.
Yeah. Hope. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. It's so true. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't diminish the, you know, the physicality of it, especially when it's still so fresh in your body. You know, I mean, I felt like that for so long. Like my body just missed that. It missed carrying that baby even when the baby wasn't alive. So that's what we're designed to do as women. You know, it makes sense.
I felt strongly that my body was just, and I really felt for my body, that this was a really cruel thing that it was going through, that, a mother couldn't hold its baby or complete the biological process of nourishing it with her milk and holding its chubby little body and all
Yeah.
of those things. There's a lot of sadness, and I think we're grieving the future and what we thought it would be like,
That's so true. Yeah.
the hopes you had for your family, and that's hard. Your kids were going to have a sibling and you were going to watch them grow together, and it just kind of stops sometimes, and I felt that. I felt my body needing to feel that entire 3 months I was holding that child, slowly and properly, and process it and integrate it, so that my body doesn't hold that forever, and that it's able to start to heal and move forward and find the magic in it, rather than, staying stuck.
Sure. And even having that awareness, I think, is so beautiful and, you know, so profound. And I agree, like, there is something to be said about the biological process, but I know I found for me, and still to this day, I think that, like, my womb has a lot of feelings around it, you know, and I've shared, so I won't go into it too much, but of course, like, the grief and the mourning and, you know, sometimes shame and guilt and things that my body, yeah, again, still holds at various times. But then it's like the flip side too of like, this is life. Like, this is life as a woman. Like, we hold death, we hold life, like we move through, you know, in this like, in this easier way that people might not imagine. So I think we can hold all of it, you know, all the complexity and all the like perfectness in what we didn't expect.
And you know, we make such a big thing maybe out of how we think something's going to go or how we're going to feel. But I suppose when you're in it and you're really you know, really, what's the word? Enthralled by it and captivated by it and completely give yourself to it. It just is, you know, and I found that I could hold so much joy and gratitude and so much pain at the same time, but at the same time, I was just moving with so much ease. And it's, we create these things in our mind where it's going to be this big event and it's going to be horrible and we're so scared. But when you're in it and when you've come through it, it's like, how did I do that? And like you move through it with so much pride and so much power and you're so empowered and you can't help but take that with you now that you've unlocked that within yourself and remembered that profoundness and that love and that just, oh my gosh, it's just like for it's God,
Yeah,
you know.
definitely. Yeah, these babies do show us that.
I couldn't have known that without this beautiful baby, his presence, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you are a completely different woman. I'm sure.
Definitely more myself than I could have ever been before, and you know, moved a lot more of the fear out of the way. But what I realized, you know, I questioned everything about myself, and I had to put my money where my mouth was. Do I really feel this way about my body? And you know, I do. I do feel like I'm living that authentically, and it just moved a whole lot more stuff out of the way so I
Oh.
could continue moving forward in more alignment, you know, and in more love. And that's my purpose. It's like my do the people that I love feel my love, you know, that's so important. You know, the work that we do as women and in birth and in death is so important. Sometimes it, and a lot of the time our work as women goes unnoticed, but it's, you know, that's the important work. We're healing generations and our ancestors and our lineage, and we're paving the way for our daughters. And so I felt really, you know, I've always questioned, you know, what my purpose was, and am I doing enough? And have I made the most of my life? And I feel like in this experience, I really understood what I'm here doing, changing the narrative and all of this healing on so many levels for my own children and for myself. Yeah.
You are, and sharing this experience with us today has been so beautiful. And I know we'll touch so many women. So, you know, as women in the future, some of them come into this experience now, they will have you and they will have your beautiful, your story and your wisdom and your transformation. So you are doing it. You are in it. It is happening as we speak. And I'm so grateful to you today for sharing your heart. And I know that it is still somewhat new, you know, in a sense for your body and your mind. So I just really honor you. Really, really
Thank
honor
you.
you. And I would give you a big, real hug if I could.
And I know I've told you, but yeah, I'm just grateful for the part that you played and for you sharing your story. I think it's a roll-on effect. If we can, you know, the way that you affected me and my life and my experience, you know, I hope to give that to somebody else. And I think more people should be talking about this with support and love and comfort and understanding that it's not their fault and that it's just part of, you know, life sometimes. And, but just to be able to hold them without shame and judgment. And that's what a lot of women carry in this experience. It's like, something's wrong. My body's faulty. What did I do wrong?
Oh,
And it's
definitely. Yeah.
not that at all. I want women to know that. And so the more that we talk about it and open up the space for it in this way and allow women to understand and see that we can do it outside of fear and, sometimes the medical system, there's other options to honor your baby and your body and birth and death. So thank you for the gift that you gave me.
You're so welcome, and you're giving it back. And I'm just guessing. I'm sure there will be things to come in the future for you, probably, I don't know, new projects and new creations. So, how's best for people to find you if they wanted to reach out or see what you're up to?
I'm on Instagram, really. That's where I am.
Okay.
It's Alyssa Rafidi underscore at Instagram. I am holding a miscarriage and pregnancy loss support circle if
Oh,
anyone's
beautiful.
interested. Yeah,
See,
it's
that's what
next.
I mean. You're already, look at you. You're already doing it.
I think it's needed, and I want to hold that space for women who are navigating this or who are still healing from this or holding this type of experience. All are welcome. There's no shame. It's a safe place. And so that's next Sunday, the 14th. So you can find all the details on my Instagram, and anyone's free to reach out to me also on Instagram.
All right. Yeah, and I'll include that in the show notes. I'll
Thank
put your
you.
Instagram handle there. And yeah, thanks again. So much love to you and your
Thank you.
family. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.